Hello and welcome to Break the Mold, where I share inspiring stories and interview people who have shattered ceilings, crushed their goals, are serving and slaying in life, and of course, have broken the mold. Well, we are back with another episode of Break the Mold, and I'm very excited about today's guest. It is one of my longest pageant friends who fate brought us together. Her name is Yasmin. She is the reigning international Mrs. California, and I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Well, thank you so much for having me on here. I am so super excited. I absolutely love listening to your podcast, so it's cool to be a guest on here. But as you said, my name is Yasmin Friedman. I am the reigning Mrs. California International. And I'm just, thrilled to be here and excited to do this. I'm a mom of two, married to my husband for almost 12 years, and I live in Southern California.
Well, thanks for being here, Yazzie Poo. Let's jump right into it. This isn't your first rodeo. Can you walk us through your journey of becoming Mrs. California International?
Absolutely. So no, this is not. I actually started this journey in another state, in Pennsylvania, back in 2007, when I actually won Miss Pennsylvania 2007. Won that title, fell in love with the international pageant system, and then decided to get married and then press my luck trying as a Mrs. Pennsylvania. And that was in 2015. I placed first runner up to an amazing person. Her name was Cheryl Schreier, and she actually, her daughter ended up winning Miss America. So just made a really great pageant friend there, just how pageantry connects us. And then I moved states. When I moved here, I was determined that I wanted to attempt to try and win California. That first runner-up left like this hunger for more in my mouth, and I just loved the international system. I would say I started that in 2017. That was my first time going back, I believe. And I had like a six-month-old baby, so I was right out of the gate in motherhood. And just trying to get my, trying to find myself again in pageantry, because it's different when you have children and you're starting it over. Did that, loved it, did not win, clearly. Went back in 2019, 2020, and 2024, and now finally we are here in 2025, and I am so happy to say I won.
We love that. I love a girl who never gives up. I think determination is something really important. It's something I teach my kids in the gym every day, as well as resilience. Five attempts, that takes a lot of guts. What kept you coming back?
I think every time I came back, I learned something different about myself. And I think that is something cool about pageantry. It was just, I showed up my best self every time, but every time it was slightly different than the last version I showed up as. And this version's different than even that, because now I'm a mom of two. So it's really grown. And I think for me, my daughter saw that I went and that I placed and that I had placed, a few times, but just didn't capture that crown. And I really thought I was done last year, to be honest. I announced my retirement, as every girl does. I was done. I was very happy. But as it would have it, God had different plans. And through my coach just telling me, hey, I really think you need to give it one more go, I did. And here we are.
You know, don't we always all say we're done and then 6 months later we're in a dress and on a stage and competing again? Isn't that how it works?
I think, unfortunately, sometimes, but that is just, I am very stubborn as a human. So I think when I say I'm done, usually I am done. I will be honest.
Stubborn? Never.
I will be honest. I think, if I'm fair, for me, relationships matter a lot in my life. They are honestly what helps me thrive. I think for some people, relationships feel secondary. For me, they're primary. And it was just my very best friend said, you know what? There's an opportunity for me to crown a Mrs. at this time because unfortunately my title holder could not attend to Crown. And so that was the main reason I went back. It was primarily because my best friend said, there's an opportunity for me to crown you. And wouldn't it be cool if we got this picture and got this memory and this moment in time? And that's honestly all it took. And then I thought, you know what? Yeah, let's do this. But I will say I did not buy a single thing. I went into this pageant without spending a dime. I just showed up and thought, you know what, if it's meant for me, it's for me. And God did have it for me. And I met some amazing women this time around too. I feel like every single pageant I have done, I've walked with one or two amazing friends.
That's how we met.
Yes. You were one of them.
I was sitting by myself and you said, hey, can we sit with you? And then the rest is history.
It was, yeah. Well, you gave me one of the best compliments I've ever had. So I think you solidified your spot in my life at that moment.
For the fans listening, I told Yasmin that she reminded me of pageant Olivia Pope.
Best compliment ever.
What do you think changed this time around? Was it your mindset, your preparation, or do you think it was just divine timing?
I think it is all three of those things. My mindset changed because it was so last minute that I didn't have time to obsess over it. And I think for me, I'm definitely an overthinker. So I didn't have time to sit and really like ponder and ponder and ponder. It was just on instinct. Preparation, I've always been prepared, right? Because I think when you lack preparation for life. So I think, you know, the saying, be ready so you don't have to get ready, was true for me in this. And obviously, God is the center of my life. So I think, you know, what's meant for you will not pass you by. And I will always give to God the glory. So I think, especially in this instance, there's no way I would have been here. I mean, literally everything just aligned down to I had a credit on an airline that got me there. So I literally paid nothing because the agreement I made with my husband was, if I don't pay anything for it, do it. And that's what we were able to do.
That's fair. I always say the things we want the most take the longest to grow roots. What was that winning moment like for you?
I don't even remember. Because it was like, we did it. And she said my name. And I just think I stood there for a minute and went, wait, real life? It was like a blur. And I think I'm almost mad at myself for it because, you know, you wait so long after 5 years to like hear your name called. And it was such a blur that I almost couldn't put it together. It was like, you know, funny enough, I think when most women, when they first get engaged, like you don't even know what's happening unless you planned it. And so it's that moment of like, wait, what? Oh, I'm just saying my name? Did this just happen? So it was awesome. But also like mom mode, like I won. And then literally like 2 hours later, I had to get on a flight. Because my daughter had dance competition the next day. So like, in true mom Mrs. character, I was like, yay, I won a pageant. And then tomorrow I've got to make sure she has all of her costumes and we're ready to go to comp.
Hey, the dance mom, cheer mom life, it's not for the weak.
It's definitely not. It was, I think it almost made the icing on the cake though. For me, the coolest part of that was I got there, right, and I had full hair and makeup, and I have a crown in this beautiful box that the former Mrs. California had gifted, and it was beautiful, Megan. And she gave us this beautiful box that just it had Mrs. California International 2025 on there, and I've got the crown in there and the sash, and I remember just sitting there taking it all in for a minute, like once I got to the airport. And someone asked a question because I was actually like looking at the crown as I was sitting there. And next thing I know, like on the airline, they announced it. I got pictures with the pilots. It was just that to me was probably the coolest thing. And then coming home, my husband and my daughter blew up 300 balloons, like not helium guys, like blew up 300 balloons and put them all over the house and decorated the house. They spent, he said, 5 hours just
Oh.
doing all of that. And by the time I got home, it was just the best. They bought my favorite little cake from like Sam's Club, and it was just a such an amazing win. So the win for me didn't actually happen at the pageant, it happened post pageant.
I love that. And that's something that you guys will always remember.
100%. He will never forget blowing up 300 balloons ever again in his life, though. Like, he's like, never again.
I know your daughter just loved it. She was having the best time of her life blowing up those balloons, I'm sure.
I think the 9-year-old self gave up and handed it over to dad after like balloon four.
I mean, as they all do. So, looking back at version one of Pageant Yasmin to now, what's the biggest shift you've seen in yourself?
The biggest shift, I believe, is really just not being afraid to be authentically me. Messy, not always put together, just honest and raw. I think that is something that was different. I felt like the initial version of me, having a mother, I'm sorry, being a mother and a new mom at that, and married only about 3 years, I felt like I needed to have everything together. I needed to present perfect. I needed to speak eloquently. I needed to stand tall. I needed to be mom and still manage to show up, fully rested with a 6-month-old who's waking up in the middle of the night, and I'm still nursing and all the things. It was just so much. And I think now I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. My house may be a little messy, and my hair isn't always going to be perfect. I mean, I'm sitting in a dance competition, like, I don't even know what you guys call these days because I feel old right now, but we call these windbreakers. I don't actually know what they're called now. But wearing that.
Think I would call a windbreaker.
Okay, so windbreaker, hair in a bun and some headphones on, and like, this is everyday life. And I think I would have felt pressure, even though this is an amazing podcast, to show up, in a suit with my makeup done, that no one can see me. And so I feel like those are things that I no longer carry with me. It's just, this is who I am. This is real life. Here's where we are. And I'm proud to be who I am. Like, there's no longer this worry of what others are going to perceive.
I love that. That moves us right along to my next part or my next segment of this podcast. And self-worth seems to be a big theme in both of our lives. So, what has the journey of self-worth looked like for you over the years?
So yeah, that goes back to just kind of this. I cheered in the NFL, and I was a model when I was younger. I worked for United States Senate. I've done some really, really amazing things, but for me, the number one thing that, like, I've lived so many roles. I think the one thing that defines me the most, though, is that of a leader, and so that ultimately is the journey of what self-worth looked like. Because becoming a leader is something that takes a lot of time, and it's not something that happens overnight, but you've got to really want to motivate other people before yourself, I think, to be a great leader. And so, with all the things I've done, that was something that I have navigated into pursuing personally. And the more I got involved in church, and the more that I took time to focus on that, the better leader I became.
Would you say that you've ever tied your value to your crown or felt like you weren't enough without it?
100%. I think that for a long time I hid behind my careers or what I did or what I accomplished. And I think that I've absolutely felt like, oh, well, I can't open that door unless I am a pageant queen or unless I have made it to this game or unless I've done it to that. And I think the one thing we do as women is we tend to hold ourselves back quite often, and we don't put ourselves in the room. And I think if we were to just trust and put ourselves in the room, that's where our influence and impact happens. That's where we show up as our best self. That's where we advocate for ourselves, but also inspire the next generation or more people. And so for me, especially having a daughter, I think that was something that I almost recognized that I never wanted her to believe her worth was in a crown or a career or a thing, but that her worth was totally anchored in who she is and what she believes and what she does with that belief. And so for me, I've now aged, I don't say aged out of that thought process, but I've embraced a different thought process now where I'm like, you know what, the crown is amazing and I'm grateful for it. I'm happy that the things I have done were recognized, but at the end of the day, it's gonna go to another girl next year. I only have it for a year. It is not my value, it is not my purpose, it is not who I am. It is something I can utilize to leave a legacy with, but it doesn't define me.
I 100% agree with that. I think that the crown is sometimes a stepping stone for us to use to launch us into another part of our legacy project and to help us reach more people, but it's not necessarily the defining moment of why we do the things we do, because we ultimately had the passion before the crown. And so really it's just another piece of our story to help us get to where we want to go and impact those around us.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I think, you know, I've even seen you do that. You're so amazing with your Charlie Breaks the Mold book and what you've accomplished. So like, I think that you live that out every day. And I love getting to sit here and witness you get to do that too.
Well, thanks. I try. So let's talk about mom life for a second. What was the biggest challenge you faced of balancing ambition and motherhood?
So for me, the biggest thing, if you can hear my son in the background, it's like the perfect timing. I could not have planned that better. The biggest thing about mom life is balancing what is necessary for my family and then the things that I want. So needs versus wants. You know, if I'm being very, very honest and really vulnerable here, we are a family of four and my husband is a professor. So at the end of the day for us, our financial budget is our financial budget. And pageantry can be quite expensive. And so, you know, I question, do I spend my money on the new gown? Do I spend my money on more dance classes? That's easy. It's going to go to my daughter. It's going to go to dance classes. And then we're going to find a way to manipulate my budget to work for something that I need, you know? But I think for me, the biggest thing in this instance is just the financial part of this piece of the puzzle is, you know, balancing the things I want and being my best self and doing the self-care and showing up the best I can while also maintaining the fact that I'm still a mother and there's different needs for my family now than when it was just me.
Definitely. How do you make sure that you don't get lost in everything when you're doing everything for everyone else?
I have, well, you know, I would like to say I've mastered that. I have not mastered that yet. I'm still in the process of that. Again, my family's going to come first. Like at the end of the day, making sure my son, my daughter, my husband, they all have their needs met is extremely important to me. But yes, I am also taking time out for myself, whether it's doing things I enjoy like this, getting to connect with a friend, doing a podcast, making sure I'm community serving. And that is truly what fills me up. So for me, I find a way to include my family and do those same things. So it's getting my daughter up on a Saturday and my husband and my son and saying, hey, there's this really cool service project. Let's all go spend some family time, show up for our community. And that fills my bucket too. So it's finding ways to incorporate my family. But then also, you know, I will get a massage. Like Mother's Day just passed and I was able to get a massage and get my nails done. And it was lovely. So I do the little things still, but I also still am trying to find ways to take care of my family. And thank God the two go together. Like my meal prepping, I want to make sure everyone's eating healthy, but I'm also eating healthy and I enjoy cooking. And so I'm like, hey, help me cut this up. Hey, can you come in the kitchen and do this? So just finding ways to get your family to interact with you while still fulfilling your self-care rituals.
Definitely. I send props out there to all of you moms, because while I spend, you know, about 6 to 7 hours a day with children, I get the luxury of sending them home. And I love my job. I love getting to impact these kids. But I am happy that I send them home to their moms.
I get that. I get that. That was me as a teacher pre-kids. And then when I had my own kids, I was like, oh no, there's no return button. Wait a minute. Wait, right away. It's giving me trouble. What do I do now?
I wouldn't know what to do. I'd just be like, well, I guess they gotta run laps.
No. They'll just scream louder.
So if you could go back and give new mom Yasmin, or just new moms in general, some advice, what would you tell her?
You're doing a great job. Be gentle with yourself. I remember that first week of motherhood was the most trying week of my life. That first year is going to challenge everything you think you know about yourself. And I think that first year, you truly realize that we are selfish individuals sometimes. And that doesn't come to like put you down or to be harmful. You know, if you don't have kids, that's a choice, and that's a great choice if that's what works for your life. And if you do, that's a choice, and that's a choice you've made. And if you're trying and you're not quite there yet, it's okay. Like, embrace whatever form of motherhood you are in. And whatever that looks like for you, you're doing a great job. There are nights where you have no idea, up from down, right from left. It's like you're stumbling around in the dark and you can't find your way around, but I promise it gets better. I promise that at some point you hopefully will feel it within you that like you can look back and go, man, it was hard, but we did it. And it's okay to not have it all together. It's not. And I think another thing that maybe is a little controversial that we don't talk about with new moms is nursing or not nursing. And I'll be honest, like a fed baby is a happy baby, right? At the end of the day, you're doing your best, mama, and it does not matter what that looks like. Every family's different. No one gets to tell you what is and isn't okay. Just know you're showing up, and you showing up is good enough. There were days I remember I read something that said, like, the baby's asleep, and I don't know what I want to do first, eat, nap, or shower. And it's like, can I do all three of those at one time? And I just remember going, oh my gosh, I feel seen. Like, I feel seen. And my showers became my sanctuary, and my sleep time was whenever I could get it in. But I would just eat whenever I could and sleep whenever I could. And that shower was like my refuge. So you're doing a good job, moms. Just take it easy. Whatever phase of life you are in, you are doing good. And we see you and we honor you. And I hope you feel that love.
I'm with you 100%. Mom life is not an easy life, so more power to all the moms out there making it happen for all their kids. So moving right along, let's talk platform. What are you passionate about and why?
So my platform as Mrs. California International is called Anchored in Purpose. It's elevating lives using faith, service, and advocacy. And for me, it was because, you know, after taking a pause from my career to focus on my family, I found myself called back to service. And for me, I learned that purpose doesn't pause, it evolves. And so for me, my purpose came in my worth, like I said earlier, of my career and being in a just high-powered industry and a well-oiled industry. And so when that got taken away and I suddenly had a baby and four walls around me, I felt trapped. And I think many women feel like they lose a part of themselves when they step away from work. So I think I want to change that narrative, right? I want people to realize that through faith, service, and advocacy, they can find a new purpose in every season of life. Like my purpose came with doing more in my community and showing up. So I do believe that in anchoring ourselves in faith and purpose, because no matter what stage of life we are in, we can make a lasting impact on our families and our communities.
I love that. So, how are you using this title to create that impact right now?
There's several things. I have what I like to call faith in action kind of plan. For me, that is going and spending time in my church, getting other women to whatever faith they may believe in, whatever denomination that is, being able to find themselves in their communities, in their churches, and utilizing that for opportunity to be a part of whatever social causes they believe in, right? A lot of people will say, I don't know, I love serving. I don't know where to begin. I'm like, hey, go to your church, go to your community center, wherever you have a local community center, or, you know, whatever your faith is, they're going to have opportunities there for you in your community. Those are some of the best places. There's YMCAs, there's so many other places you can look. So I think that is the number one thing. The next thing I'm working with is just working with different mom groups, coming in, doing a purpose workshop, getting them to understand and kind of do deep dives on social key issues that are important to me personally, but also maybe what they're interested in. I think utilizing your talents and finding what you're great at and then serving with those things are key. For me, my advocacy is I'm really passionate about ending human trafficking, making that human trafficking awareness, and talking to people about, hey, here's how we can protect our kids. Here's how you can be protected. Here's what you can do to advocate for those who unfortunately have fallen victim to this horrible, horrible thing that is happening in our world. And then the next thing, of course, that I'm working on is just serving, right? Just being in my community and serving. Like I said, that fills up my tank. And so I want it to fill up other people's tank too. And I think those are just those three things aligned, kind of get things moving differently. If you think about it, if one person from every single family in this community, in this world, in this state, took just maybe an hour out of their week and did one thing in their community, what a difference it would make.
No, 100%. I think community service is the one of the best things I think anyone can do just to give back to their community, because it always makes them grateful for what they have, and it never feels bad to help others.
I also love to I love to talk to him about some of the things I think we need to see more of, like paid maternity leave, honoring that pauses happen, right? Like we all work, and then we someone want to take that pause, right? Past their maternity leave, and then the reintroduction into the workforce sometimes looks a little different. And for me personally, I'm a teacher, so I may not have that hard of an issue. But for other people, like my husband, he's in science. I've spoken to some women in science who say, you know, if I stop and my research stops, what am I left with? Right. And I think that is a very different conversation. So I think there's more that needs to be done, especially in our government, that could really help get women new legislation for paid leave or sabbatical practices that we can introduce. So I do think that it opens a larger conversation for what is needed for mothers. 24% of new mothers leave the workforce within that first year. And I don't think we talk about that enough.
We don't talk about it enough. No one talks about it.
So I think that is part of the impact that I would like to put in the legacy that I'd like to leave with my title. And just, you know, to not just be the title holder, but to create a lasting impact that can fuel the next generation and women who are like me, and kind of, we can always learn from the women that were before us, right? Like there was someone before me who thought, hey, I want to work. And then that became a possibility for women. And then there was someone somewhere in there who said, I want to have kids and work. And then there's some women who want to be stay-at-home moms and say, I'm going to be done with working. And there's some women who say, absolutely not. I cannot be done with working. I want to continue to work. And there's some who need to work, right? So it looks different for everyone and every family. And I just hope that in this time, this creates a conversation around what can we do to support mothers better in and out of the workforce? And how can we also find our purpose that goes beyond our careers or what we think is our purpose?
I think that's fantastic. And I think that there's definitely not enough support out there for mothers. And I truly think that postpartum depression is not talked about enough, and there's not enough tools out there for moms. And I would hope that in the coming years, that's something that becomes available, because I feel most moms are almost ashamed to talk about it. They spent all this time, you know, I think there's so many women out there who their only dream and love in the world is wanting to become a mother. And then they finally get it. And then they're mm-hmm. left with this depression that they don't know where it came from. And then they're almost shamed for having it because it's this thing they've dreamed of. And if we would just talk about it more and give women the tools they needed, then maybe it wouldn't be such a taboo topic.
Absolutely. I think that a lot of it is the struggle too. I mean, there's a lot of chemical hormonal balances and imbalances and things that change, and your body's constantly changing as a woman through pregnancy and then postpartum. And it is absolutely something that we need to talk about more, because I think more women need to understand, like, you are not in control. You think you're in control? You are absolutely not in control. And I could say, even for me, like, my son is 2 now, and I finally now am starting to feel like myself again. My body's finally moving the way I wanted it to. You know, I'm doing things like Pilates. And I remember when I first did yoga, when I first introduced myself back into just that flexibility, not strength training, but flexibility, my body did not want to do any of the things it could do before. Like, I could do, you know, a hanging ab lift. I could do crunches. I could do all sorts of things. And then when I tried to do it just a few months after, I could not do it. My body just refused to do it. And I remember being so angry at myself. So besides the physical changes that happen, you know, the mental changes, I'm like, oh my gosh, all these moms are snapping back and they look amazing and I feel awful. Like, you talk to yourself sometimes in you know, some pretty awful ways without realizing it. I will say I have been lucky to have not, you know, gone through the postpartum depression, but I've walked alongside some other women who have, and it is so hard to witness that. And I think that I'm so proud of them when they say, you know, I need help, and they get it, because that not only saves you, it saves your family. It saves your children, and it is never your fault. And I think that is the number one thing. You know, I remember for me, you know, when I decided to stop nursing at 7 months with actually both my kids, I felt guilty. I felt like I was not a good mom. I felt all the things, you know, I felt horrible. And that was something that I never thought I would struggle with, because I've always been like, oh, fed baby, happy baby. Like, that's my theory, right? No. It was different when it was me and it was my turn and I had to stop and all these things. And I will say, like, part of that is just, again, your hormones, something I never expected to deal with, I was suddenly dealing with. So I just hope that, you know, if you are struggling out there and there's a new mom listening to this, please know you can always seek help. It is not your fault. You birthed a beautiful life into this world, or maybe you carried for someone else, whatever your case may be. It is okay. It is okay. And you're getting help is the best thing you could do for yourself and your family. So please do that.
Could not agree more. It's 100% okay to not be okay. And that's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to, you know, we're going to turn around a little bit here. We're going to make a little bit more fun. We're going to do some rapid fire questions. So let's get to know Yaz. What is your go-to coffee order?
Okay. Contrary to popular belief, sorry guys, like, do not turn the podcast off. I don't like coffee. Not a coffee girl. Not even a little.
She wasn't from New York for the whole episode until we mentioned coffee.
And she said, the accent coffee, with coffee. Coffee. Yeah. Coffee. There's some words that die hard. Yeah, guys, sorry, not a coffee drinker. I think it tastes so bitter. Blech. Don't come up to me and tell me there's 8 different ways to make it and you can make it sweeter. No. So I will say I am very traditional. I'm a tea drinker, Earl Grey. I will do English breakfast, or, you know, chai, just tying into my Indian roots.
I like a good chai tea. What about matcha?
No.
You don't like too earthy.
No. Definitely, if I wanted to eat grass, I'd just go outside and do it, guys. Like, no. What are you doing?
I love a good lavender matcha. So good.
I'm pretty sure there's nothing natural about a lavender matcha except for all of the simple syrup they're probably putting there, loaded in with creamer.
I mean, I also don't really love coffee. I'm an Alani drinker till, until I turn blue.
Unfortunately, you have got me on because of you. I am
Everyone
on that
keeps letting, no,
bandwagon.
everyone keeps blaming this on me. I did not turn anyone into an Alani drinker. Y'all picked those up. Y'all liked them. You kept drinking them. I did not make anyone do anything. I don't even live close enough to you to make you drink it.
You post it and it just subcon you were an influencer. I Alani, you need to sponsor her podcast. You just need to send her all of your drinks because yes, this girl will get everyone drinking Alani.
I won't say no to that. Okay, what is your favorite Disney character?
Between Princess Jasmine, Tiana, and Pocahontas. And the reason there's a tie is because there's something from each one of them. My name is Jasmine, so everyone calls me Jasmine. Pet peeve, do not do that. But again, being Indian, Arab, kind of close there. Pocahontas, because in 1995, that was like the only soundtrack I had managed to memorize in and out and loved. I'm pretty convinced that might be why I picked my husband, who looks like Prince Harry. And the other one is Tiana is just a hard-working Disney princess. Nothing was handed to her. She worked hard for all of it and she's got spunk. So I got three. I'm taking three.
Okay, you could take three. I like that. I mean, I'm also a Pocahontas fan. Ish and I renamed one of my dives off the high dive the Pocahontas because it reminds us of when when she dives from the mountain into the water. So we only call the so I've been diving since high school, and there are number codes that go with the dives. I don't know any of them. Like, I've been at this, like, I've nationally competed now 2 or 3 times. I don't know the numbers of my dives, so I'll go up and they'll call it out, and I will look at Ish and he'll be like, the Pocahontas.
That's epic. I think we need a shirt. We need a shirt that just everyone show up with the Pocahontas written on a shirt. That's a good one.
Hey, it's one of my highest scoring dives.
I love it.
What is your favorite thing to do with your kids?
This is so corny. We do what I call hotel night. We put on it's called
That sounds
hotel night.
fun.
We order pizza or we order takeout and we all get in the bed like you're in a hotel because we get the hotels that don't necessarily have a suite because we're not on baller level quite yet in life. One day, not yet. And so we all just climb into the bed and grab stuffed animals or whatever we want, blankets, and we eat in bed and we watch a movie or a TV show. And usually it's like Family Matters because we're all Steve Urkel fans.
Love that. That sounds so fun. What is your favorite thing to do without your kids?
Shoot, anything? No, I'm just kidding.
Wrong answer.
I like going to the beach, trying new restaurants. I'm such a foodie. And I will not say no to like a really, really fun concert or dance club night. I'm all about dancing, so that is just fun
It's
for
just
me.
true. Who is your favorite person you've seen in concert?
Oh man, so there's a few. Boyz II Men was my very first concert in life. Y'all, I'm dating myself. It was like Destiny's Child, Montel Jordan, and Boyz II Men, and it was the best. And then it was the Spice Girls. It was probably the most memorable concert. I know, because I loved them and they were so cool. And it was like my girl era. But as an adult, I will say I went to the I Am Sasha Fierce by Beyonce, and I was not necessarily a Beyonce fan before. And then when I saw that concert, there was something that happened over me and I got like sucked in. And I was like, you know what? Yep, I'm a fan. I'm a fan, single ladies, all the things. She just puts on such a great concert. So I will say those, yeah.
My first concert was NSYNC.
Yes.
I
Who
also
is your
saw,
favorite on the boy band? Like who is your crush?
like, of NSYNC.
Yes.
I think it was Lane. Actually, no, I like JC. JC was the one I liked. Yeah, but I also liked Drew from 98 Degrees.
98 degrees.
Yeah. Or was it Nick? The one that was dating Jessica Simpson. Nick. It was Nick. Yes.
Nick. Yeah.
Yes.
So, a funny story. I wanted to murder my mom when I was 15 and modeling in New York because at that time, Justin Timberlake was now coming out with his solo album.
I went to that concert
And
with Christina Aguilera.
okay, yeah, that sounds like an epic concert now. So 90s of us, man. 2000s, 2000s.
2000s.
But Senorita, if you look at the video, the girl looks a little like me. I got casted for that. And I was supposed to be the lead. I was supposed to be that girl that you see in there. And then they found out I was 16 and they were like, you cannot do overnight shoots. We're shooting overnight. Sorry, next. So I booked it and then they found out my age. And because New York and LA, they have certain, you
Rules.
needed a permit and they had all these like child rules that I was still considered a minor. I could not do it. And so I was crushed. And I remember yelling at my mom, like, why couldn't you just birth me 2 years earlier so I could have married Justin Timberlake? I was convinced, y'all, that I was going to be the next. He was going to fall madly in love with me on the shoot, and I was going to be the wife.
It wasn't meant to be, or else we wouldn't be
I
sitting here.
guess. I guess so. I mean, I was meant to be Mrs. California International, married to a professor with 2 children and a puppy instead.
That is exactly it.
Yes.
That kind of is the answer to my next question. So you're gonna have to give me another one. What's something people would be surprised to learn about you?
Well, that I am a bigger sports fan probably than most men. And I am like an all New York team girl, except for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I am a diehard, I would say, Yankees fan, Knicks fan. I loved the Giants, but then the Eagles kind of won me over there. And so I will generally be eating a slice of pizza, watching a game, screaming at my TV.
That sounds fun.
It's a great time.
I'm not really a sports fan, but I like football.
Oh, I love sports. I think I love being an athlete. I miss being an athlete. I think that might be a part of it too.
Yeah.
I was a swimmer, I did a little bit of everything, but yeah.
Fair. Okay, well, here's the part where I get to breathe a little, except for maybe not. It's your turn to put me in the hot seat. So I'll turn the mic over to you and you can ask the questions to me now.
Okay, cool. So we're going to start a little debate among your iPod listeners. Is it iPod anymore? Is
No,
that the
that's
shit?
so
No.
2000s.
Man. Okay, I'm sorry. Your podcast listeners. Let's just try that again. We're going to start a little debate with your podcast listeners. And a little strange of a question, but it's like needs to be asked. When you get in the shower, what is the order that you do things?
This is a really random question.
Yes, but it's one of those that people will fight to the death over. Like, are you shampoo, body wash, conditioner? Are
Okay, well,
you?
here's another controversial topic. So normally I have extensions in my hair, and before I had extensions in my hair, I used to have fun dyed hair. So purple, pink, blue, with those things, either extensions or fun colored hair, you only get to wash your hair like it's recommended like once a week. So, I don't wash my hair for every shower, which I can't believe I'm admitting on air.
I don't think
Because
you're alone. There's probably a lot of people out
there
there who are
are.
like
There
this.
are, especially now that I know that extensions are trending. But I only wash my hair once a week. So if it is an everything shower, I tend to wash my hair first because there's a lot of steps to it because I have to double cleanse the hair and then wash the hair and then usually like let the conditioner sit on it and soak and then I do everything else. But if I it's just like a body shower, then it's just, a body shower. There's no order. I'm only doing one
Okay,
thing.
so your hair, then body on an everything shower.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is like a hot button topic for a lot of people. They're like, that's not the right way. And yeah, okay. So next question.
Well, but what order do you do it in?
Oh, I am a shampoo and then conditioner, tie it up, then do the body wash. Wash the face and then rinse it all off.
No, you should wash your face last.
Well, it kind of is last because.
It's got to be before, it's got to be after you wash your conditioner out.
Oh, well, yeah, sometimes that happens. Not all the time, but sometimes that happens. It just depends on my mood that day. And if I'm doing a hair mask or not. It just, yeah,
Okay.
it just depends on like where we line up. Okay. So my next question is, what has been the last thing that you watched on TV that got you super motivated?
I don't watch TV.
Okay. What's the last thing you listened to? Give me a song. Give me something.
That gets me super.
Probably Taylor Swift.
No, I don't listen. I don't have time to watch TV, so unfortunately, I don't watch a ton of TV. However, the last 3 weekends have been very, very big cheerleading weekends. The cheerleading worlds followed by the Summit Cheerleading Championships 2 weeks in a row. And so I've watched cheerleading for the last 3 weeks. So I will say that those have gotten me very inspired and excited for this season that we just started.
I love it. Okay. And I guess where is your dream destination for travel?
I really want to go to Greece and I want to see the I, like the icy, like the pretty blue water with the white buildings.
Santorini. You want to go there. Are you going to do a photo shoot there? Like, you can hire someone and they have the big dresses and you can have like a whole photo shoot there.
You know, when Ish and I finally travel there, I'm sure that we will. But we actually have friends who live there.
Oh my gosh,
So
amazing.
we met friends in college who came to America to study and do high school and college, but their family still lives over there. So I feel like we would have a star tour over there because we wouldn't be in just the local touristy areas. We get a full show.
Food is unbelievable there. And probably the coolest memory I have was we found this little beach and it had this little bar on the beach and we just sat there and ate like, olives and hummus and tzatziki and vegetables. And it was so amazing and just got to see that blue water. Another fun part is you have to ride a donkey up the mountain.
I don't think I would do that. I would feel
No,
bad.
it's like the only way you get up there.
Well, then I hope they have really strong donkeys because I don't travel light.
Has been your favorite part of doing this podcast?
I think getting to interview people and learn what other people are passionate about and just share more stories of people who have struggled with something in their life and overcome it. Because I tell my story often, but my story is my story. And so to let other people tell their story to hopefully inspire more people to go after their dream is truly what I love doing.
I love that. That's important. And I think we all have so many layers to our stories, right? Like for me, motherhood is one piece of my puzzle, but there was, so much more to it. And I think that people showing up and getting to be vulnerable in a space that welcomes that is truly rare these days. So thank you for allowing us to come on here and speak our truth.
You're very welcome. And thank you for showing up today with your whole heart. Your story is so powerful, and I know someone out there needed to hear it. I know there's tons of moms who need to know that we're all there cheering them on, and so hopefully, they heard it and they're knowing that they can do it too.
I hope that, like we spoke about a few very serious topics today, and I hope that people can find information on any of them if they need. If you are interested in the fight to end human trafficking, please visit A21. If you are someone who is struggling with mental health, please reach out to a therapist, a licensed therapist, and wherever you get your support, please know you're not alone in that. And I think that's really, especially as mothers, but even if you are not a mother, right, this goes far beyond any of that. There are mental health alliances there to help you through anything that you are going through. Please utilize them. We need you. we want you around. People need to hear your voice and that know that you matter and you matter to a lot of people. So there's information on that. And lastly, if anything we spoke about really touches you and you would like to connect with me, you can connect with me on my Instagram at Mrs_Yasmin_Friedman. Or you can just do Mrs.Yasmin.Friedman. Either one will show up. And I am looking forward to hearing from any of you guys in the future.
Y'all, that's it. And if you take one last thing from this episode, let it be this. Sometimes the win takes time, but you are never less worthy in the waiting. Thanks for being here, Yas.
Thank you. Bye.
I hope today's episode has inspired you. And I look forward to sharing more inspiring stories and interviews with you on the next episode of Break the Mold. Have a fabulous day, and don't forget, you can be defeated or you can be determined. You've got it.